So I'll start. Yes, I'm very interested in replicating this effort to see if we have people who've been convicted in Denver who, in fact, are innocent. And we actually have an example of that going on right now in Denver. Some of you may be familiar with the Clarence L. Moses case, where we have a gentleman who's been in, who was in prison for 26 years, the entire time claiming that he was innocent. And in fact, he raised money from other fellow inmates in order to test the evidence for DNA because he was convinced that the DNA would prove that he was innocent. This district attorney, our current district attorney, fought his effort to have a new trial. I would not have fought that effort, and now he is currently has been released by a judge who says he is entitled to a new trial. And that was a judge who was a former district attorney, actually. And she indicated that he should be released, awaiting the decision by the DA's office. The DA's office has not yet come out with a decision about whether to retry this man. I would not retry Clarence L. Moses. So I am very, very... I'm very committed to making sure that when we do convict people, we are convicting people who are guilty, not people who are innocent. And I applaud the use of our DNA efforts to exonerate folks who, in fact, are not guilty of the crimes for which they are accused. So, thank you.
The worst thing a DA can do is keep someone in prison who's innocent. And that means you need to have a robust unit and opportunity to investigate post-conviction remedies. Because not only is it unjust to that person, but that means you have another perpetrator out there. And that is a danger to all of us. So absolutely, we need a DA's office that will embrace and welcome, where it's justified, the reviews of convictions to make sure we are not keeping innocent people in prison. And like the Clarence Moses L. case, I also would not seek a retrial in that case where the evidence is so strong to doubt his guilt. And you actually had someone else come forward and acknowledge to engaging in the conduct in question. But there's also, we need to use best practices to make sure we're not convicting the innocent to begin with. And the New Yorker just had a lengthy article about how flawed eyewitness ID can be. And we need to use the best practices and partner with the police department to make sure that innocent people are not put on trial to begin with. Now, there's a second part to this question that I want to answer as well, which is how do we improve the decision to not charge high-profile cases? And I think that deserves an answer as well. And in my view, that means we need much greater transparency than we have right now, where we have a district attorney in a case of a shooting, issues a report, and says, take it or leave it. That's my position. Clarence Booker died in Denver County Jail in 2010. And as the candidates know, we're still getting questions about it because the public doesn't understand how that decision is made. If I'm DA, you'll understand the decisions I'm making. And then we can work together to bring justice to our city and make sure we have a system we can all be proud of.
This is a critical issue, and it's one that you have to understand when you're sitting in our position as Ms. Morgan and I are as district attorneys. What does it mean to have a review process? It means that you review the case, you review the transcripts, you review the files, you review the transcripts from the original investigation, and you make a determination as to whether or not somebody is guilty or not guilty, or whether or not you can prove that case beyond a reasonable doubt. I've been following what they've done in Brooklyn. I think it's a great idea. Denver's already been doing that with DNA cases through the Denver Justice Project, which was a collaboration with the Attorney General's office to review cases through DNA to make sure we're convicting the right folks. That process can easily be extended. But it's important to understand with regard to Moses L. is that I can't tell you sitting here whether I would retry Moses L. or not. And I'll tell you why. Because I have not reviewed the case. I haven't looked at the file, I haven't read the transcripts, and I haven't met the victim. And that is what you have to do. When we talk about reviewing controversial cases, that's what the review is. It's not hearing it in the newspaper, then making an opinion about it or a decision about it. It's going through the tough work and doing it. Now, the second part of this question is reviewing controversial cases. I'm in favor of a public fact-finding review when anyone dies at the hands of police. That means if I don't file charges in that case, we are going to have a public fact-finding review in a public forum, and people are going to be able to ask questions, why didn't that happen? And that's what I am committed to bringing to Denver.
Thank you. It's really hard to answer this question in 2 minutes, and I'm going to do my best. Let me start with the first issue of wrongful convictions. As Kenneth said, we in fact had a program in our office that was grant funded that looked at DNA evidence in cases, and people could submit cases where they felt that they were wrongfully accused and later convicted, and we would test those within a certain guidelines that we had. Unfortunately, we lost funding for that unit. So when we make promises about creating new units, I want to be honest with folks. We have the same resource issues that other people do. So if this is a program that the community wants and the community needs to work with us, and I'd be delighted to set it up. But this is going to take a lot of time and resources, so we've got to do it together. As to the second issue of reviewing controversial issues in indictments and non-indictments, I would do that prior to making the decision about indictment. There are two separate issues here, right? There's the issue of when somebody is accused of mistreating a citizen, somebody in Denver, and whether or not that person suffered injury or serious bodily injury. I would, as I have explained to people, create a panel that makes a decision in my office about whether somebody should be charged. And I would submit certain cases to what we call the double refusal, which is not one person, but two people, uninfluenced by each other, make a determination whether or not somebody should be charged. There is also a place for independent review prior to a decision being made on the issue of police shootings. We have lost your trust. That's why you're here. We need to make the decision, but we also need eyes that people understand are not beholden to anybody.